All right, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. Glad you're here. And wow, we're in the middle of summer. Lots of people away. It's always a little difficult to try to figure out what kind of messages to present during the summer, because you don't want to do a full-size series that, you know, it's going to depend on whether you were here last week and in order to catch, hold of the message this week. And so this year we came up with an idea to solicit from the congregation just different stories, faith stories, from people in the congregation, and then I would do a devotional on that. And so this morning we're going to hear from Hank Hock. I solicited mostly from leaders in our congregation, elders who are serving and so on. And Hank has been an elder at least as long as I've been here, probably longer, so probably 12, 15 years, I think. He's been a pastoral elder here at New Life. And we're going to hear from Hank. So Hank, why don't you come on up? And he's going to share his life verse and how that has impacted him. Sometimes we have a scripture passage that we kind of rely on to get through life, a verse that maybe has been given to us or something that's kind of sparked something in us. And so we're going to hear from various people throughout the summer, those kinds of things, and then along with that, a testimony of their faith story. So Hank, welcome, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you. All right, yes. Good morning. You hear me?
There you go.
Yes, good. All right, let's start off with my life verse.
You just got to keep it right there.
My wife has been telling me this all the way to church. Keep it close to your lips. Well, the one that I'm referring to is Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may observe all that is written in it, and then you will be successful and prosperous in your life. Anyhow, I and Joshua 1, 8 go back a long way. It was one of the first verses I put to memory. I was a young boy, about 10, 11. I heard of a summer camp program for boys in Duncan, B.C. We lived in Black Creek at the time. I became increasingly interested in a camping program. Never heard of one before, but I kept encouraging and hearing about it and getting really quite excited about it. But we had recently moved from Saskatchewan, my family, to escape the depression that was there at the time, the 30s. I'm not quite that old, but anyhow, here we were in Black Creek. And money was, of course, very scarce. And the idea of paying for a camp was out of the question. The camp offered a unique entry requirement, and that was to memorize 100 Bible verses out of the King James Version. And my parents thought that was a pretty good idea. The price seems to be right. So I got to work, and I memorized about 5 to 10 verses a week. Would go down to a person in the community who was assigned to listen to you speak these verses. And yes, I met the deadline requirement and was fortunate to be able to go to camp. Now, that was some 70 years ago. A number of the verses, along with Joshua 1:8, found their way into my long-term memory and never seemed to want to leave. Not long after the camping experience, I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. The small church in Black Creek that my family attended had a special New Year's Eve service. The format was simple. There was the usual singing, followed by a time of sharing. People were free to talk about God's leading, his care, encouragement, etc., during the past year. I listened to their stories, and it made me feel they had a relationship with Jesus, which I didn't seem to have. Following the sharing, there was an invitation for anyone who wanted to come forward and receive Jesus into their life. I did that, and the person counseled me in taking this step of faith. I was given Joshua 1:8 to take with me in my Christian walk. This is my second encounter with Joshua 1:8, and that's why I sort of like to refer to it as my life verse. The verse is very clear as to what one must do to receive an awesome promise. God has said, do not depart from your word. You have to meditate on it. That means memorizing it, making it personal, and to obey it. The Christian life is not without storms and trials. Hope and encouragement during troubled times, knowing that Jesus is at your side, makes all the difference, though. In 1996, my wife of 35 years succumbed to cancer. I had just retired, and we were both looking forward to experiencing retirement days and growing old together. This was not to be. Life for me seemed to have come to a stop. But again, God's word is always there, and he is always with us. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. A few years later, 3 years or so, God had a surprise for me in bringing an awesome lady into my life. It was indeed a miracle. I lived in Vernon. Emma lived here in Abbotsford, attended this church. I attended the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church in Vernon. The probability of us meeting from a mathematical perspective would be quite unlikely. I would say it was like a fairy tale. It was only much better because it was real. And again, God's word, the faithful love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And now we've been married. We are in our 20th year of marriage. 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with colon cancer and went through chemo treatment and surgery. Here I am. Why God chose to heal me is a mystery, and I'd like to keep it that way because I'll find out later on when I get to see him. Someone has said that the storing of God's word in your mind and in your heart is like carrying a concealed weapon. It is light. It is a lamp. It is a vault of gold. It is a hive of honey. It's a two-edged sword. Joshua 1:8 has really motivated me to stay connected with the Word of God. My prayer is to see life from God's point of view. Our world hasn't got too much to offer in that regard because the Christian or the biblical morality seems to be slipping away. But God's Word keeps us on track. Well, there it is, a little bit of my life, and thank you for listening. Oh, one more thing. About 3 months ago, I was given this book. It says, 100 Bible verses everyone should memorize. I am not preparing for another camp, no. So I take it at my speed, leisure time. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Marvelous. Thank you, Hank. A 100 Bible verses. Who else has had to memorize 100 Bible verses to get into camp? I've never heard of that. That's amazing. Wow. Thanks, Hank. Thank you for your testimony. And let's take a look at Joshua 1:8. And I'd like us to take a look at it in the context of a few other verses as well. And Hank gave testimony not only to how some of these Bible verses have entered into his mind and into his memory and just stick with him, but how that sustained him through some of the difficult pieces of his life. And he's had some difficult pieces. And so let's grab a hold of this, something that's inspired Hank, and let's see where God takes that for all of us together. Joshua 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 5b, and then we've got verses 6 through 9 up on the screen. This is God encouraging Joshua. Joshua is about to take over leadership from Moses to help the people of Israel enter into the promised land. And so God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he goes on, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then the verse that has inspired Hank, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So the context of this verse that's inspired Hank is the broader admonishment to be strong and courageous. Why? Well, for Joshua, obviously, simply because he was about to take over from Moses' leadership, and that was some big shoes to fill. Moses was that amazing leader who had led the people of Israel out of slavery, away from the Pharaoh, in whose house Moses had been raised, and led them into across the Red Sea into the wilderness. And then Moses passed away, and Joshua was to take over. Not only that, so not only did Joshua have some big shoes to fill, but Joshua also had to lead a nation suddenly. And this was a nation of people who were pretty stubborn. After all, their name was Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. That constant wrestling was exasperating for Moses, which is why God didn't allow him into the promised land, because Moses rebelled against God. He was so frustrated with God's people. And then, and so Joshua was about to take over. So a pretty daunting leadership task. And in that context, Joshua is admonished to be strong and courageous. Well, that's a nice thing to hear, I suppose, but it's quite another thing to take up into our lives. You heard some of the things that Hank has gone through. What does it mean to be strong and courageous in the midst of, leading your life towards retirement and then suddenly your spouse passes away? What does it mean to face cancer as Hank has, and then to be strong and courageous? And this is where Hank's verse comes in so critically. Because to be strong and courageous means, first of all, to hang on to the promises of God, to know the promises of God, to be familiar with the promises of God. That's the point of memorizing Scripture. Back in Israel's time, they didn't have books that we could just go to the store and buy, and Bibles all over the place that you could just read. They had to depend on their memory. They had to depend on oral tradition to be able to pass along God's word. They needed to know God's promises. We need to know God's promises. God names two of them in this passage. The first is, I will never leave you. That's a promise. We need to know that promise. The second promise is, he says, you will lead, Joshua will lead the people into the land that I have promised. It's going to happen. That's God's mission in this world, to lead his people into the promised land. In other words, God's promise is to extend a place for his people to live. And he promises that he's going to be present with those people. He's going to be with them in that promised land. He's not just going to send them off and say, hey, have a good time. I'm busy doing other things. Never mind me. No, God is going to be present. And God is that kind of God. God is a God of promises. As we get to know God, he is that God of promise. He promised to Noah after the flood. He says, I will never again destroy the world as with the flood. That's God's promise. And he holds true to that promise. When he came to Abraham and called Abraham away from Abraham's home, from his country, and he sent Abraham and said, follow where I lead, and I will bless you, and I will make your descendants great, and through your descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. It's a promise. I'll be your God, you will be my people. And God holds true to that promise. When God comes to David, he promises that a descendant of David will forever rule on the throne over God's people. Those are the promises of God. A promise for place, a promise for identity, a promise for constant rule. All of which is, of course, fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus fulfills the promise to redeem the world, not to destroy it. Jesus fulfills the promise to make a people belonging to God. He fulfills that promise of identity, to know who you are in Christ. Jesus fulfills the promise to rule over all of his creation forever. Knowing those promises enables us to be strong and courageous, to have that kind of confidence to press through whatever we experience in order to be the people of God. Know God's promises. Know them. Know God's promise to protect you, to provide for you. Know his promise to forgive you and give you a new identity. Know God's promise to love you no matter what. How do you know those promises? You memorize Scripture. You reflect on Scripture. You read Scripture. You become acquainted with it so well that not only do you know Scripture, but by reading Scripture, you say, I know God. Hank mentioned that the world seems to be becoming a less reliable place to be able to follow the ways of God. Indeed, I think we are witnessing a time in which the world is just becoming quite plainly more fearful, more driven by anxiety than by hope. But God is at work in this world. The promises hold true no matter how fearful, no matter how confused, no matter how chaotic the world becomes. God's promises hold true. Know them. Know those promises so that you can be strong and courageous. But to be strong and courageous also means following God's way. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. This isn't just talking about know the rules to live by so you behave properly. This is talking about know the law as God has revealed himself to you, to know his ways so that you know him. It's not just about the commands. It's not just about behaving right. It's about, do you know God's way? Do you know how God would act? Do you know how God would behave in certain situations so that it becomes intuitive for you? Know the law of God, not just so that you can say, here's the right and here's the wrong, but so that you can follow hard after God. How do you do that? You meditate on God's law. That word actually embraces memory and memorization, but it also means to mutter. So kind of like to mumble under your breath. So in a sense, what this verse is talking about is to say, have God's word in your heart so that you can mumble it as you go through your day, so that it can be on your lips. So as Hank testified, that these verses that he's memorized, at least some of them, have never left him. And he can mumble them. He can talk about them and reflect on them just as he's going through the normal routines of his day. That's what Joshua 1 verse 8 is talking about. It has to capture your imagination for living, God's word does. So ingest God's word, place it in yourself so that it creates an imagination for how to live God's way, so that it shapes your picture of the good life rather than simply copying whatever advertisements you see that portray a good life and to say, oh yeah, that's what I'm going after. Now take in God's word so that God's way is what you're going after. Take in God's word because it has to shatter the worldly dreams that turn out to be hot air and lies of fulfillment. Because ultimately, this isn't just about living well and having a good time. It's about being saved from your sin. And that too is fulfilled in Jesus. When the angel comes to Joseph to say, you and Mary are going to have a son, the angel says, and name him Jesus. Or the Hebrew name would be Yeshua, Joshua. Because, the angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. Take in the word of God. Reflect on it. Read it. Grab a hold of it. Because by it, you will know God's ways and be saved from your sin through Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And a lot of people say, you know what? We think Christians are arrogant. We think Christians are haughty because they say Jesus is the only way. How can you say Jesus is the only way? Erwin McManus, I heard him once say that, he says, it's not that we're arrogant that we say Jesus is the only way. It's that we recognize that nobody else has come to save us from our sin. You look at every other religion in the world, and nobody's coming to save you from your sin. In every other religion of the world, you need to save yourself so that maybe, just maybe, if you work hard enough at it, you'll be made right with God. Nobody else is coming to save us from our sin but Jesus. That's not arrogance. That's just thankfully receiving the truth. Following God's way. Be strong and courageous. Not only by knowing God's promises, not only by following his way, but also by trusting God's presence. So the reason that I encapsulated verse 8, starting at verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is because This passage is kind of like an envelope structure. It has the beginning that matches the end, and then the middle that matches the second half, and then there's the centerpiece. And the centerpiece is verse 8. The centerpiece is, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on its day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. That's the foundation of living in strength and with courage. And then the passage broadens out to say, be strong and courageous. Repeats that three times, and then a fourth time says it negatively in verse 9. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. But then that whole passage is enclosed with, at the beginning, verse 5b, it says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then the end of the passage says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If knowing God's law, reflecting on it, meditating on God's law is the foundation of living in strength and courage, then God's presence is what surrounds us as we move through life strong and courageous. God's presence. How is that? How does that happen in your life and in my life? How does that happen in our life together? Well, simply acknowledging it. Simply saying, God is present. But also by the fact that the Holy Spirit enters into our lives. The Holy Spirit establishes God's presence with us. But then we return once again to knowing Scripture and meditating on it. Meditating and reflecting on it in such a way that we could mutter it under our breath as we are busy in the midst of life and in the midst of things that call for strength and courage. We can mutter under our breath the Word of God, the very words of God, because they reveal God's presence with us. And if you can't muster that because the situation is so critical or so fearful, well, then we rely on the prayers and thoughts and encouragement of those around us, brothers and sisters who hold us up in times of need. There, too, is God's presence. So important to be able to grab a hold of Scripture. Because Scripture is what reveals God to us. And how you know God is going to be how God shows up. If you ignore Scripture and just kind of have a popularized view of God and just say, well, I just know He exists and that's good enough. If you ignore the revelation of God in Scripture, you're going to end up with images of God that aren't going to affirm God's presence in your life. If you think of God simply as an indulgent grandfather, he's just a good guy, and he just gives me nice stuff so I can have a good life. If that's your kind of God, then when times are tough, God's not going to be present. God, you're not even around. You're not giving me all the good stuff I need to have a good life. And then going through the difficult parts of life become impossible, and you can't be strong and courageous. Perhaps you've come to know God simply as an angry judge. You haven't explored the words of Scripture that reveal God as a God of love, as a God of compassion, as a God of mercy, as a forgiving kind of God. And you're always wondering and worried about whether God's going to show up with a stick and beat you with it because you've done something wrong. And then you're going to constantly live in fear and anxiety. Or maybe you've even gotten to know God and you think, yeah, God's up there, he's far away, and so, yeah, it's nice to know he's out there. And then you just end up living for yourself because, well, God's too far away. He's got no impact in my life. God's presence enables us to live strong and courageously. But know God's revelation. Meditate and reflect on His word. Don't be afraid. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Which is once again a promise that is fulfilled in Scripture. At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, you've heard this passage said many times. From Matthew 28, Jesus says, speaking to His disciples as He's prepared them to minister in His name as Jesus ascends into heaven, and Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. That is, reflect on the word of God. Almost a direct quote from Joshua 1, verse 8. Teaching all that I have commanded. And surely, get this, I am with you always, Jesus says, to the very end of the age. Joshua 1, verse 8, completely fulfilled in Jesus. Folks, we're on a mission. We're on a mission, God's mission. We're moving towards the promised land. And God says to you and I, be strong and courageous. How do you go about doing that? Know God's promises. Follow His ways. And trust in His presence. Find courage and strength in the whispers of God's word this summer. And maybe borrow Hank's book and memorize 100 verses or so. Let's pray together. Father, many of us have had access to the Bible, and it has become so commonplace that we take it for granted. And yet, through the words of Scripture, in the pages of this book, You reveal Yourself. Help us to treasure it. Help us to be faithful in reading it, reflecting on it, even memorizing it, so that Your words can be on our lips, so that we can recall passages and be reminded, Father, of Your promises. Be confident of Your way. Be assured of Your presence in our lives. And then, Father, we humbly submit to You. Help us to live strong and courageous lives that follow after You. Because, God, only then can our lives be successful. Only then can they be prosperous. Not simply in the worldly sense, but prosperous in the sense of following after Your will and accomplishing Your purposes. God, give us such a beautiful vision of Your success that we strive and live hard after You. Bless us with Your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? And go in the strength of God. Go with courage to live your life following hard after God. Go with the blessing of God as He has bestowed that blessing throughout the ages upon His people.